Praise God. Hallelujah. Today is August 2nd, 2020. It's a nice, light, raining day here in northern Vermont. Supposed to get up to about 83 degrees today, which is a lot better than the 98 we had not too terribly long ago. It's funny, there at the campground where Debbie and I are working for the summer, I have to go into the office often because my job 3 days a week is the host, and I have to know who's coming in to check in and what I have to where I have to take them, that sort of thing. So I go into the office, and there's a clip, a promotional clip for the campground playing, and it talks about how the average summer temperature in northern Vermont is 65 to 75 degrees. I'm like, not this year. I don't know how long ago it was 65 to 75 for an average high, but I think that's false advertising. But praise God. I want to talk this morning about being calm in the midst of turmoil. Has anybody noticed any turmoil going on recently?
A little bit.
So I want to talk about being calm in the midst of turmoil. And I'm going to start in the book of Isaiah, 30th chapter, beginning with verse 15. This is a prophecy that Isaiah is giving to the children of Israel. Remember, Isaiah was the king, or Isaiah was the prophet in the days of several kings. In fact, in Isaiah 6, where Isaiah saw the Lord, it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Isaiah was the same king who later told King Hezekiah, set your house in order because you're going to die. And before Isaiah could get out of the courtyard, Hezekiah had turned his face to the wall, cried out to the Lord, said, Lord, remember me for the good. And God turned Isaiah around and says, go back and tell him I've added 15 years to his life. So Isaiah was the king Isaiah was the prophet over Judah in the days when Sennacherib came and took away the northern kingdom. Took away the children of Israel from the northern kingdom of Israel, but left the kingdom of Judah. He came against Judah, but they sent the letter, and the king Hezekiah went to the temple and spread out the letter before the Lord, where the pagan general had sent the letter and said, don't think your God's going to be able to save you, because none of these other gods were able to save them. And he spread out the letter and said, Lord, see what they said. And God defended them, and God defeated the Assyrian army. But in those days, Isaiah gives this prophecy to the children of Israel. It says, for thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest you will be saved, and in quietness and confidence shall be your strength. But you would not. Or you didn't want to do it that way. And you said, no, for we will flee on horses, therefore you shall flee. And we will ride on swift horses, therefore those who pursue you will be swift. 1,000 shall flee at the threat of one, and at the threat of five you shall flee, until you are left as a pole on top of a mountain and as a banner on a hill. So it's a very prominent or a very pointed prophecy to the children of Israel in that day. But what lessons can we take from this? The lessons that I see out of this here is God has already promised to watch over and defend us. God has promised to keep us engraved in the palm of our hands. Nothing comes into our life that God will not allow into our lives. If you look at the book of Job, you know, Satan had to go, went to God and said, no, said that Job only trusted God because God protected him. And God allowed the testing to come into Job's life. But we find out later at the end of the chapter it was for a purpose. And also at the end of the chapter that God blessed Job so that he was better off after he had gone through everything. And we can look at our own lives and see where God is testing us, has shown himself faithful in our lives. We go through a testing and temptation, and God has given us his strength afterward and giving us his blessing. But he has continued to keep us through all the situations that we go through. But in this prophecy here, God says, in returning and rest, you shall be saved. And in quietness and confidence shall be your strength. But you would not. In other words, you didn't want to do it that way. The real New English translation says, I told you what to do and you ignored me. You would not do it the way that I said. How many times are we guilty of that same exact thing? God gives us instructions that says, trust me. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will direct your path. We know what the Scripture says. That if we trust God, that God will direct our steps. That we trust God, God will lead us. Trust God, God will be at work in our situations. He will be our shield and our defender. But no, so many times we want to fix things our own way. So what he said to the children of Israel here, or to the nation of Judah, you said, no, for we will flee on horses. Therefore you will flee. Say, hey, I got a great idea. Let's do this. And God says, okay, it's just not going to work out the way you want it to. And then you also said, we will ride on swift horses. He says, well, your enemy's going to be fast too. You're not going to get away from things. It's a song of the Lord, and it's in one of the prophets. I don't remember which one. It says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are cast down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. We trust in God and God takes care of it. We're not going to put our trust in other things. We're going to put our trust in God. In this time of turmoil in our land, in this time of turmoil going on around us, there are all kinds of, magic miracle cures or just the way we ought to do things. Rather than, let's trust God. Let's seek the face of God, ask for wisdom, ask for guidance, and continue to walk in what God tells us to do. There's a mandate going out in our state and in New York, in Vermont and in New York, and I'm sure a lot of other places. It actually kicked in yesterday in Vermont where you have to wear a mask, when you're going out. Okay? Or have to wear a mask when you're out in public. But there's no requirements for what the mask has to be. There's no specifications on how things have to be. How does that work? What does a mask do? Well, it gives the politicians something to do. It gives people some people a sense of security. Other people not, but it gives some people a sense of security. There's a lot of things that can go in there. But are we relying on the mask, or are we relying on God protecting us? Understand, I don't have anything at all against somebody wearing a mask. In fact, we have masks. If you want a mask and don't have one, we have masks here. We have the hand sanitizer. We have all these things. But our trust is in God, not in this material thing or that material thing or this bit of wisdom from this doctor or this bit of wisdom for this doctor. Our trust is not in the wisdom of man. Our trust is in God no matter what's going on. If we rely upon our own strength and our own understanding, we are going to get overwhelmed. And it doesn't matter what the situation happens to be. It can be how to take on a new task at work. It can be a some sort of assignment that you have that seems to be stretching you. If we rely upon ourselves, we're going to reach the end of ourselves. Because we are finite. Limited human beings. If we rely totally on ourselves, we rely on the help of other people rather than the help of God. We rely on the direction of what somebody else says rather than trusting that God is the one who has us in the palm of His hands. God is the one who gives us the strength. God is the one who gives us the ability. God is the one who will allow us to be tested and stretched sometimes, but is still at work. If we rely upon God, we will never fall. We will never fail. Though a righteous man falls seven times, he will not be utterly cast down. We will fall. But we're not going to stay there. Not going to be left there. God's going to continue to lift us up. It says in 1 Corinthians, who are you that judges another man's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. And he will stand because God is able to make him to stand. Praise God. God is the one who's able to lift us up and to guide us. To give us the strength in each and every situation. But if we rely upon ourselves, if we rely upon the things that we can figure out, we're going to fall short. But we're also going to be in a lot of turmoil and a lot of anxiety. because you've got voices all around you telling you how bad something is. And then you have other voices telling you how much of a political thing it is, that it's not really that bad. And just every side has got an angle. And there's a lot of truth in what's being said on every side. The question is, how much do we rely on what other people says, and how much do we rely on what God says? Do we trust that God is the one who's going to bring us through it? If you remember the old Catholic serenity prayer, God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the strength to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. That peace about things we can't change. Guess what? There's a virus out there. We cannot change the fact that there's a virus out there. Guess what? There's political turmoil out there. We cannot change the fact there's political turmoil out there. But what we can do is, rather than get anxious about everything, trust God to guide us. And relax and rely upon God, just as it says there, in returning and rest you shall be saved. God, I'm relying on you. I'm trusting in you to direct me through this. Lord, teach me, tell me what I need to do. Teach me what I need to do. And I'm resting and trusting in you. I'm not relying on my own strength. I'm not relying on my own understanding. I am in the midst of the storm. I am recognizing that you are God and you are bigger than this storm. And there is absolutely nothing that can happen that you won't allow, that you don't allow in my life. The old saying that the man of God and the will of God is immortal until God's done with him. If we trust that God has us engraved in the palm of his hands, and he's the one directing our steps, and he's the one that's able to make us to stand, he's the one that's able to guide us, what do we fear about what else is going on? What do we fear about things happening around us? I think rather, when we find ourselves in turmoil because the world's in turmoil, when we find ourselves getting anxious and getting overwhelmed, it's an indication that we haven't really trusted that God is in control in the situation. Mark chapter 4, beginning with verse 35. Jesus has just been teaching and preaching, and says, on the same day when the evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. And other little boats were also with them. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat on the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the pillow. And they woke him up and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? How many times do we say, God, don't you care that I'm in the midst of this? God, you know I can't do this. Why did you put me in this mess in the first place? Don't we say that? Lord, do you not care that we perish, that we're perishing? I'm here to tell you the boat was not going to sink with Jesus on it. Whether it could fill completely up. It'd be like, Deb used to have a sailboat like this. It was completely made of foam, to one where it could be completely full of water and it wasn't going to sink. Jesus was in the boat. Jesus said, let's go to the other side. We're going to go to the other side. It doesn't matter what the situation looks like. If God is directing us, it doesn't matter what the situation looked like. It doesn't matter that the storm is raging on the outside. It doesn't matter that people are in a panic all around us. It doesn't matter that the world is falling apart. If God has said, I have you here for an appointed time for a reason, here we are. Praise God. He's the one that's leading us. He's the one who's promised that he will never leave us or forsake us. He's the one that's promised that he has us engraved in the palm of his hands. He's the one that promises that he inhabits the praises of his people. If we know that God is with us and we know that God is directing us, why do we panic by the things going on around us? And believe me, I've been the one in the boat saying, Lord, don't you care that I'm perishing? I understand it. But I'm here to tell you, having come through a lot of it, praise God, I have not gone through all the testing I'm going to, because I'm still breathing. There's still another chance. There's still more time for God to test and do some more things in my life. Praise God, because my life still needs some more things straightened out. I don't know about you, but, you know, I am still not I still don't have such a glow of the Lord on my face that I have to wear a veil. Okay, we'll do it that way. Yeah. God is still at work. And God is still at work in each and every one of us. But he who began the good work is faithful to complete it. God hasn't stopped working on us just because things look a little rough. God is definitely at work in the circumstances. Lord, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? And he arose and said to the sea, peace and be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And then he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? Notice they didn't say, oh man, we really should have trusted Jesus. That's not what they said. They said, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? Really? You've watched him do miracles. You know, you've seen him feed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. You know, you've seen him raise people from the dead. Lazarus wasn't the first person Jesus raised from the dead. You know that, right? They've seen him turn the water into wine. They've seen him do things that people cannot do. And they're like, and after Jesus rebukes the wind and the seas and says, why are you fearful? Why do you have no faith? Their response was to say, huh, look at that. He made the wind and sea. Praise God, you knew who was with you. You knew what he said. Well, how about us? We can look back over our lives and see what God has already brought us through and see that he has shown himself faithful in every aspect of our lives. Can anybody name one aspect in their lives where God has not been faithful? Didn't think so. Anybody look back on their lives and seen one aspect in their lives where they weren't faithful? Hands up all along the room. Because we fail, but God is still at work. God is still working in us. And he is faithful in all of his ways. So when we see the storm going on, we are called to stay calm. We are called to trust God no matter what's happening. Who else are we going to trust in? When Jesus had been talking to the... actually had a crowd following him, a big crowd following him, but a bunch of followers as well as the 12. And he said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part of me. And so many people said, it's a hard saying, who can hear it? And they turned around and walked away. And Jesus turns to the 12 and says, will you also leave? And Peter says, where will we go? You have the words of life. We may not understand what's going on, but where are we going to go? I don't know about you. I tried living out life on my own strength. I tried doing things my own way. It didn't work. I made a mess. I made a huge mess. But God is faithful. And if God is faithful, then I know that I can trust in him. And if I know that I can trust in him, then when I see things going on that I can't do anything about, there's no sense in getting anxious. There's no sense in being upset. There's no sense in being in a panic. I can't fix anything out there. All I can do is submit myself to the Lord and draw near to him and let everything else just no longer be part of my focus. Trust that God is at work. Psalm 28, beginning with verse 6. Said, blessed be the Lord because he has heard the voice of my supplications. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoices and with my song I will praise him. The Lord is their strength. The Lord is, and he is the saving refuge of his anointed. Save your people and bless your inheritance. Shepherd them also and bear them up forever. God has been faithful in our lives. We are to praise him for what he's doing. And when we don't see an answer to the current dilemma, when we don't see a way through the current mess, trust that the God who has brought us this far still has a plan and purpose to lead us on, and praise him for it because he has shown himself faithful. Praise the Lord. God has done wondrous things in your life and in my life. God has brought us this far. He has brought us through some messes, don't get me wrong. How many of the messes were of my own doing? Most of them. Some things God allowed in my life. Some things I like, oh, look, let's see what kind of trouble I can get in. Lord, help.
We all have done it. We've all found ourselves in that situation where a casual word stirred up turmoil. Okay, maybe y'all aren't the smart aleck that I am, but a casual word can stir up turmoil and cause trouble. That's why Jesus says, for every idle word that proceeds out of your mouth, you will give an account. Lord, help me. But God has been faithful and continued to bring us through. Psalm 107, beginning with verse 23, is known as the Sailor's Psalm. I'm sure Jerry's heard of it. It's one of those things, having been in the Navy. Who here's ever been to a beach? A ocean beach. Okay. You notice the very close part right to the beach, especially in rough water, it's all white. But a little bit farther out, the water's green. In order for the water to be green, it has to be over 3 feet deep. Did you know that? Okay, so with that in mind, seemingly a lifetime ago, it was in March, maybe, of 1982. So, a long, long time ago, I was on my first ship, an aircraft carrier. Anybody ever seen an aircraft carrier? Those things are big. I was on an aircraft carrier coming back from the Mediterranean Sea. We were doing some engineering tests. We had a team on from Norfolk, a team of engineers, and they were going through and they were testing all of the engineering systems. And the things we had, among the things we had to do, were full power runs and turns on a nuclear-powered aircraft carrier. They had turned off the input to the system, so we don't know how fast full power was, but it was moving right along. We are in 60-foot seas in a storm in the North Atlantic. Our escorts are the USS Mississippi and the USS Texas, which are nuclear-powered guided missile cruisers. Had to be nuclear-powered ships to keep up with a nuclear-powered carrier doing full-power runs and turns. In 60-foot seas, I'm up on the observation deck. They called it the O11 level. So some 200 feet above the waterline at this place, balcony, you could get out and look. And I'm watching these nuclear-powered cruisers going completely under and then back out the way of the other side, completely underwater. And our ship, USS Nimitz, where the flight deck is 90 feet above the waterline, would come over a wave and come down into a wave. And the water would rush back. And from the bow of the ship to the start of the island is some 400 feet back. And some 400 feet from the back, when the wave hit the island, the water was still green. The water was still 3 foot deep, 400 feet into this. That's rough water. Throw that out there for anybody. Calm water, 90 feet above the waterline. Go into the wave. And 400 feet back at 90 feet above the waterline, it's still 3 foot deep. That's rough water. So I've been through some things. Let me read this sailor's psalm. Psalm 107, beginning with verse 23, that says, those that go down to the sea in ships that do business on great waters, they see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commands and raises the stormy wind, which lifts up the waves of the sea, and they mount up to the heavens and they go down again to the depths. Their souls melt because of trouble. Or their soul melts because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man, and they are at their wit's end. Then they cry out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brings them out of their distresses. He calms the storm so that the waves still. Then they are glad because they are quiet. So he guides them to their desired haven. The sailor's song. Those who have seen God's hand at work, those who have seen God's might at work, can trust and rely on God because he has shown himself faithful. You don't have to be able to relate directly to this psalm to have looked back over your life and see that God has brought you through some stormy areas, some stormy situations, has shown himself faithful and is worthy of our praise and our trust, and is worthy of us just being calm and trusting in him. stay calm in the midst of the turmoil. You can't fix it anyway. Remember the serenity prayer. Lord, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. If I can't fix it, there is no sense in me worrying about it. If I can't make a difference in a situation, there is no sense in me losing my mind over it. But if I trust God to bring me through, if I trust God to direct me, if I trust God to even use the situation for His grace and glory, then I have a hope and an expectation of what God is going to do. Final passage of Scripture, Psalm 62, beginning with verse 5, says, "My soul waits silently for God alone, for my expectation is from Him." Be calm. Be at peace. Trust God. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength. He is my refuge, and my refuge is in God. Trust Him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Selah, stop and think about it. Trust God no matter what's going on, because He has shown Himself faithful. Trust God in the midst of the turmoil, because we can't fix it anyway. Don't let it disturb our peace. Don't let it disturb, it just overwhelm our minds. Recognize that we are trusting in God and relying upon Him, and He's the one that's going to bring us through. He's the one that's going to show Himself faithful. He is the one that's going to direct our paths. And if we fall, though the righteous man falls seven times, he will not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with His mighty arm. Trust that God is the one who's going to pick us up when we stumble. Even going to pick us up when we fall. But trust in Him no matter what's going on. If we can't fix anything, why do we allow it to interfere with our peace? But rather, if we trust God, we can be calm no matter what's going on around us. Because the things that are going on are temporary. They're temporal. They're of this time. But God is doing something in us that will last forever. God is working in us for an eternity. And if we set our focus up on things that are eternal, then the things that are temporary no longer have the power to disturb our peace in the moment. Praise God. Father, we do thank You for Your word. We thank You, Lord, for the call to stay calm no matter what's going on, but to trust in You. Father, that we might trust in You and might walk according to Your will and do things according to Your ways. Father, that we might rely on You and give praise because You have shown Yourself faithful every time, in every circumstance, in every situation. You show Yourself faithful. So, Father, we give glory and praise and thanks for all that You've done, and You continue to lead us. Father, we ask, Lord, for Your grace and mercy, and to help us, Father, to walk in obedience to Your word, Lord, to walk showing Your love to the people around us, to walk, Father, in quietness and confidence, which is our strength, and returning in rest is our salvation, relying upon You and not our own strength, relying upon You and not on chariots and horses or the devices of men or anything else that comes up, but, Lord, relying upon You. And waiting patiently as You guide us. Lord, give us Your strength and wisdom. But Father, Lord, give us Your peace. We give You glory, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.